Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Charles Collins with Impact Now Radio. Want to just say good evening to everyone and to those that would listen by way of archives. Just want to say thank you for listening in, and I truly appreciate those of you that listen by way of archives, just taking the time to really just, you know, listen in on the different messages and to different topics, and hopefully some would write down the phone number, you know, to call in and to just call in and just share and participate and, you know, just to have good dialogue about the topic. And just want to share this before we get in. You don't necessarily have to agree with my views or with everything that I might share, but I'll, at any time where you might feel like something might be out of context, or to you, or you might not understand it or not sure, hey, call in. The only thing I ask is, one, be respectful. Two, if you have an opposing view or feel like that's not what the scripture means, please, when you call, I don't want your opinion. What do you think? Bring your Bible with chapter, you know, chapter and verse. Because the one thing we want to always keep as the center of everything is the Word of God, not our own opinion, not our own viewpoints. Because trust me, I don't bring my own interpretation, you know, to these various topics. I bring is that, you know, what the scripture says, and based off of what the words means, and just through prayer and asking the Lord, you know, to share, you know, what He would like to be spoken or share His heart, and just through confirmation of Him probably letting me hear something, just letting me know that, you know, it was Him giving it to me. But needless to say, it's always about good dialogue and just sharing with one another, because, hey, I don't know everything. This is how we grow in Christ, you know, by sharing with one another, you know, because God might have showed you a different viewpoint. It might not be your viewpoint or my viewpoint is wrong. He just might give you a different vantage point of the scriptures, just like the four gospels. You know, each of the one of the disciples that basically, when they wrote the gospel down, it wasn't that they was taking away or mixing. It was just that through their perspective, personality, the Holy Spirit began to write each event, with each of them probably giving a different spin, not their own idea, but a little more in-depth detail about a particular situation, where Mark might give an account of something Jesus did, and Luke might give an account of it, but he might go a little more in-depth explaining what was happening beforehand that led up to the event, where Mark don't necessarily, he just jumps right into what happened. You know, so it's not that one is wrong or is wrong or is contradictory. It's just that one probably just went a little more in depth to explain why he said this, or why, you know, he said it that way versus of just dealing with what was said. So with that being said, we're going to go here. I want to give the call-in number once again and my email address for any time anyone want to have any questions, comments, concerns, need prayer, or just want to have good dialogue about the scriptures. The call-in number is 347-426-3065. Once again, 347-426-3065. And also the email address is ccthomas178@gmail.com. Once again, ccthomas178@gmail.com. All right, we're going to go ahead and go into the topic tonight, Just Jesus, No Additives, Part 7, carrying on from last week, dealing with the doctrine of inclusion. But like I said, this week, once again, each week for the next couple of weeks, if the Lord's will, just going to be taking some of the scriptures to begin to lay a foundation before we really get into the meat of what inclusion is. We're just going to be hitting, touching little points here and there, but more so using certain scriptures that those that teach this doctrine uses and beginning to help understand how they take it out of context and everything. So when we get into what is inclusion, we have a backdrop, a foundation to be looking at and say, oh, okay, I see it. So we're going to be coming out of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Then we're going to go to the Gospel of John chapter 3, starting at verse 15. But once again, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 1. And it says, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly. Indeed, bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, if ye receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might bear well with him. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Just touch on this real quick. Then we're going to go ahead and go on to the scripture that we're going to mainly focus in on for the next about 20 minutes, 15 minutes. Here in verse 4, where Paul said, if he did come and preach of another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if he receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted. And so he was basically dealing with the Corinthians and began to bring out something about a contrary gospel, that there's another gospel which presents you unto another Jesus, which in turn, as a result of receiving or embracing or believing this other Jesus, it would introduce into you another spirit. Just like how the real gospel is to present unto you, unto the sinner, Jesus Christ, which then, as you begin to understand what Christ did for you, and you come to the reality that you are a sinner, and based off that fact that you come to the reality that you are a sinner, then you embrace Christ. And in the process of embracing Christ, he then comes and dwells and sends unto you the Holy Ghost, which is another spirit. You know, so now, when we embrace another gospel that introduces you unto another Jesus, and you embrace that Jesus based off that other gospel, it would then introduce unto you, to indwell in you, a different spirit or another spirit. So this is what Paul's dealing with. He was real serious about it, because then he, when you jump down to verse 13, he begins to show you who is bringing this other gospel and presenting unto you this other Jesus, because the message cannot be preached without a preacher. And so therefore, just like how Jesus calls and rises and raises up preachers and those of us that he endows with his gifts and with his ability to go and the desire to go and preach his word unto sinners on our jobs and schools, on the street and wherever else he might send us, so do Lucifer and Satan and his and Lucifer, aka Satan, aka the devil. He got his ministers. Verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So we see here that we have these spirits that transforms or indwells ungodly men and transform them or make them appear to be ministers of righteousness, holy men of God and so-called holy women of God, to come and present unto you a gospel. But these are nothing but demon-inspired people bringing unto you a demonically inspired doctrine, which introduces you into the Antichrist. And so now, with that, we want to just leave that there and go on, because that brings whole name. And if the Lord's will, once we're done with this Just Jesus, we're going to go into the false apostles and dealing with the fact that there are so many apostles popping up today. And not saying all of them are false, because that would not be true, because there are some true ones. But however, an apostle would not boast about the fact that he's an apostle and doing a lot of this foolishness that these people are doing. If the Lord's will, we'll be dealing with their topic about these false apostles, and we're going to be taking a look at what they really are. So now we're going to go to the Gospel of John chapter 3. And we're going to take a look at here. We're going to start at verse 1, and I'm going to read through this quickly, then I'm going to go on. It says, there was a man, this is the Gospel of John, chapter 3, starting at verse 1. It said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Please, people, if you don't hear nothing else I say, make sure you have your Bible, a marker, a piece of paper, a crayon, a mascara, pencil, something that marks, that you can mark down with. I don't care, a paintbrush, something. Please. Remember that one verse of scripture, because that is going to be key through Lord's will for the next couple of weeks as we begin to delve into this doctrine of inclusion, which then opens the door up to the doctrine of the once saved, always saved, and the super grace and all this stuff. I mean, this thing opens up a deep rabbit hole. You know, that eventually leads you to the pit of hell, isn't it? But please, verse 3 of John chapter 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, assuredly, assuredly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Once again, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Okay, we're going to jump over to verse. 15. It says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Lord have mercy. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. People, Lord, okay, my time is running. I'm going to tell you. Please hear this good. Read this for yourself. Read it in your own time and read it slowly. Let it marinate and simmer and just cook you in these verses, because when we think of John chapter 3, the first thing our mind goes to is verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. When we think about the interaction between him and Nicodemus, but we never really go in depth and really begin to look at the whole thing play out and really read it slowly. We stop at that. See, Jesus died for everybody, and this is what they do with the doctrine of inclusion, aka the universalism doctrine, or the doctrine, or the universal doctrine, universal salvation or redemption. This is so. All right. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Might be saved. Not is saved, might be saved. Might is, gives us a look at of condition. That because he died for them to make a way for them to be saved, doesn't make them saved. Because there is a part that they must do to be saved. It's not because he died, you automatically just become saved. Because then there's no point of preaching the gospel. Because he already died for you, you already saved. So what's the point of preaching the gospel? And this is the thing that people don't use common sense with. That if Jesus already died for the entire world, for everyone, and they're already saved and they don't know it, what's the point of preaching the gospel if everybody is saved, if the Muslim is saved, if the Jehovah's Witness is saved, if the atheist is saved, if the witch, the warlock, the necromancer, the palm reader, the psychic, the voodoo, the shaman, the witch doctor, and everything else is saved already? What is the point of preaching the gospel? And we're going to begin to look at that, how people are brainwashed and don't really look at what is being presented before them and don't make a connection that if I'm already saved, then why is there a need for these preachers to preach the gospel, whether the gospel of inclusion, the gospel of prosperity, the gospel of what saved, always saved. Listen, if I am already saved, therefore in good standing with God, with the Most High, therefore every blessing in him is yea and amen, then there's no need for me to hear you to tell me that, hey, you know, now, yeah, some people might need to be motivated to stop thinking negatively and be told that they're a child of God or a little God, as Kenneth Copeland, Jesse the Planist, and Joyce Myers like to tell you. But people, this is the game and the brainwash, that they overlook the word in verse 17, that for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Might. Oh, that's just such a key right there. Key word right there, might. We can't overlook that. might. Okay. I'm a read to you what the word might mean. Okay. Might is the simple past tense of may. Now let's look at some. Trying to find. Okay. Might, okay, the word might and may is interchangeably. Might is just the past tense of the word may, where may is more so the present tense or the present participle. Okay, the word may means used to express possibility, used to express opportunity or permission, used to express contingency, especially in clauses indicating condition, concession, or purpose. It is a condition. It is not something that it lets you know there's a possibility. So now the thing becomes, if I'm already saved, what is there the possibility of? It shouldn't be no possibility. Why? Because I am in the present state of being saved. So there's no possibility because I'm in the right now situation as being saved. So therefore, there's no looking to being saved when I am saved. You understand? This and that. So now what happens is they tell you that you are saved and you don't know it. But yet the word indicates that there's a possibility and an opportunity and a chance of you being saved. But yet they don't give it to you like this. So verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Okay, this shuts down, you know, Islam and anything else that you know. Look, and this is the condemnation. Hear this. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So now, this is a scripture here. So now, when we take a look at this at the beginning of it, Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night because, you know, he's part of the Sanhedrin. He's one of the main rabbis. But yet, you know, he's having conflict going on in his soul because he understands that Jesus is a whole nother type of person. He's something else because he's doing things that we're not doing. And his understanding of an ability to reason and to decipher and to break down scripture is way beyond them when he has not went into no particular theological school of learning or set at the feet of a master rabbi or something like that. So he comes to him at night because he's still scared to, you know, he don't want his fellow Pharisees, his boys to know that, hey, you know, I believe this dude is the real deal. Why? Because he might be put out. He might be ostracized. You know, they might cut him off from the group. And, you know, he don't want to do that because there's a certain prestige in being a Pharisee, being with the boys. You know, people look up to you. You're able to rob people of their money. Why? Because they think that you are the people that sent from God. So now what happens? He goes to Jesus by night and says, man, you know, I believe that you are sent from God because no man can do these things unless that he's been sent or approved of God. So now, you know, he says that, and it's almost like Jesus totally just ignored what he said what it's saying, and he goes right into says, and he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." This right here totally stumps John 3:16 from the context of that you're already saved because Jesus died and gave us, like, he paid the price for our sin. That verse stumps that, because if I am without a responsibility or a corresponding action, not have to do anything to be saved because Jesus already did or gave himself for the whole world, then what is the need for me to be born again? Why? Question mark. But yet, Jesus himself clearly said, if you got a good Bible, a good King James Bible, that verse would be in red, because it's the words that's coming from the mouth of Christ. This and then, while everything else is black, you know, everybody else talking, dialoguing, you know, the writer speaking, this and then, but the words that are in red are the words that Jesus was saying. Based off his, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Look, it gets no plainer than that, people, that you must be born again. And the first step to being born again is this. Some would say that you have to believe in Jesus Christ, which is true. But, however, I don't believe that is the first step. The first step is that you have to first come to a place or acknowledgement that you are a sinner. Therefore, me being a sinner, not being in proper connection, because the Bible tells you that it is your sin or our sin that has separated us between us and our God. So because the fact that we or those that are sinners, God does not hear the prayer of the wicked. The only prayer that he will hear is you coming asking one to acknowledge that you are, that we are, was one, a filthy sinner, and that I need his saving grace and his salvation. That's when God will hear you, because then now he could present unto you that which was already done and provided for, because now the key becomes is you acknowledging the fact that you are a sinner. Salvation cannot become a reality until you unlock it with acknowledging that you are a sinner. Because if you cannot and will not or believe that you are a sinner, that you have a problem, that you are screwed up, then you will not see the need for salvation. What is it that I need to be saved from? What is it that I need to be saved from when I'm already all right? People, my time is up. So with that, I want you to think on it. And once again, that phone number is 347-426-3065. And my email address is ccthomas178@gmail.com. Please hit me up. And please look, come back onto our page, Impact Now Radio, to check and see when the next show will be, so that we can finish and go on to the next, go dig deeper, so we can go ahead and expose this dangerous teaching of inclusion. All right, you have a good night, and thank you once again for listening by way of archive.